You've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word, for righteousness and holiness? Our aim is to point you to Jesus. Your investment in His Will Ministry helps to spread God's Word around the world through this radio program and other outreaches. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you, and here's Pastor Warner.
But today, I want to talk to you about your call. And I'm not talking about the cell phone. I'm not talking 911. Scott has told me that he feels that the Lord has touched his heart and put a call on him to preach. He doesn't know whether he's to preach full-time or to be just a helper in the churches that need it. And we have a lot of churches that need it, but that's what Scott feels is his call. God put the call on me many, many, many years ago to be a pastor. But, regretfully, I didn't really listen. I spent much of my youth and even part of my old not listening. And I praise God that He didn't give up on me. But every one of us has a call. Whether we want to accept it or not, every person in this room has a call on their life from God. Every one of you. Even the kids have a call on their lives from God. Now, Sarah isn't necessarily called to be another Catherine Coleman and a faith healer. Chris isn't necessarily called to be another Billy Graham. But there's a calling on your life. And you may not realize it. But when God brings you into His kingdom, what does the Bible tell us? I'll give you the scripture here in a minute, but what does it tell us? It says God called you. Do you ever think about that? You can't just walk in and say, I want to be a Christian. You can't just walk in and say, I want to be saved. God puts that in you. The Bible tells us, many are what? Called. But few will. What? Many are called, but few are chosen. See, the Lord has a calling on every one of you in here. Let's look at 1 Peter. 2 Peter. Let's see what Peter has to say about it. 2 Peter, I believe it's chapter 3. Nope. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. You guys with me? Verse 3. According to His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and goodness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now what does it say there? Through the knowledge of who? Him. Referring to the Lord Jesus. That's where we were up. Who has called us to the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and has forgotten that he was what? That he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do all these things, you shall never fall. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what's Peter saying there? I always like to call this Peter's ladder of faith. Because basically he gives you the complete necessities of Christian growth in one paragraph. Everything you need is right here to work your way into a closer relationship with the Lord. What's he saying? He says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, wherefore, the other brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, who's Peter talking to here? It's Peter. He's talking to the church. He's not addressing this to one of the local pastors, is he? He's addressing it to you. To every one of you in here. And what is he saying? Forgetting the things that you need to add, what is he saying? He's saying that with all diligence, what does that mean? With everything you have, with your heart, with your soul, with all your might, do what? Make your calling and election sure if you do these things. Now, the question here arises, what calling? What election? What were you called to? I mean, we can look through the prophets, we can look through the Bible, we can see all different people's callings. But what are you called to? If you do what Peter says, he says here, and putting in a little more English, to your faith, add goodness. Virtue means purity. Right? To your purity, add knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of God. Knowledge of His rules, regulations, His love, His life. Get to know Him. He says, then add to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience. Now, what's the difference between temperance and patience?
Temperance is self-control.
Self-control. Patience is, another word, is forbearing. Being able to just put up with it. But temperance is self-control. So that's one God had to work on me with. And you guys have heard that story. I had an anger problem when I was younger. Never took it out on anything but inanimate objects. But I didn't have a lot of temperance. I didn't have a lot of self-control sometimes. And then patience. How many times have we gotten into prayer with the Lord and we've said, Lord, I want it now. Give it to me. Now. I need it this very second. We don't take into consideration that maybe if we get it right now, we're going to be in trouble. The other day, Mary was praying about whatever the Lord had for us. And I'm still a little bit of a rambunctious kind of person. I want to hit the road. I want to get going. I want to go, Lord. I got things you want me to do, right? So let me do them. The Lord said to Mary through three different scriptures, I can't tell you everything you're going to be doing, because if I did, you can't stand it. Now, I don't know what that means. I mean, you can take that either way. You can take that as a grandiose thing that Mary and I will be preaching before thousands of people and people will be healed. Or you can take it the other way. We're going to be in some little country in South Africa that nobody's ever heard of, taking care of leopards. I don't know. See, God didn't say what direction it was going to do. He just said, I can't tell you, or you wouldn't take it. So that's the lesson in patience. See, Peter's telling us that as we grow, what we're growing towards here. We're adding patience, godliness, brotherly kindness to brotherly kindness, charity, love. The last thing Peter tells us we need to add to the top of everything we're doing is love. Why is that? Bingo. God is love. God is love. Jesus is love. But the other thing is, what did Jesus say? When the people came to him, they separated out the sheep and the goats. Put the sheep on the right hand, and Jesus said, I know your works. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. When I was naked, you clothed me. Go on in. And then he talked to the goats, and they said, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these things in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And he said, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was thirsty, did you give me a drink of water? When I was in prison, did you come visit me? And what did they say? When did we see you hungry or naked or thirsty or in prison? Not when did we see one of yours. When did we see you? And Jesus said, because you haven't done this to the least of these, you didn't do it to me, go back to where you belong. I saw a track the other day that I just loved. It was I never read tracks. I just never read these things. We were in a bookstore and God brought this track to my attention. It was called Flight 475 or something. And on it, they were flying, and all of a sudden one of the engines went bad. And they were having mechanical problems, and the stewardess said, everybody sit down. And then you flash back to 3 hours earlier. And 3 hours earlier, this old couple, husband and wife, got on the plane. And there's this big celebration sending them back to the United States, and they're missionaries. And they give them into the plane, and they sit down, and they sit down next to this young man who's a young Christian. And the young man says, oh, I'm just so excited. I know I'm not like you guys, but I actually got to lead one person to Jesus the other day. I've saved one person. I bet you guys have saved thousands. Dead silence. Not one word. And he says, you have saved thousands, haven't you? And they're like, well, we've spent our lives making people's lives better. We've built hospitals. We've built schools for these people. We've helped these people have a better life. And he says, but haven't you told them about Jesus? No, we built hospitals in the name of the Lord. And so the young man starts witnessing to him, telling him that the plane's going down and they need to accept Jesus right now or it's all over for them. The plane goes down and they all die. Well, the angel comes down and grabs the young man. He says, hey, where are we going? He says, well, you're going to heaven. We're taking you up to heaven. Well, the angel comes down and gets the old couple and takes them up before the Lord. And they're standing on judgment day before the Lord. And they said, but Lord, we built hospitals in your name. We built schools in your name. We made people's lives better in your name. And the Lord says, but when did you tell someone about me? And the way the track ends is the angel's getting to toss them into hell. There are ministries today that their whole central focus is to drill a water well for a thirsty nation. They are a ministry. Their whole central focus is that water well. There's ministries that are feeding the starving. There are ministries that are building orphanages. All of these are good things in man's eyes. But if any one of those ministries is failing to tell those people about Jesus and why they're drilling that, why they're doing it, for their souls and their salvation, those people have missed their call. Those people are going to be standing up there with Jesus, and Jesus is going to say, but when did you feed me? When did you clothe me? And they'll say, but we drilled 10,000 water wells in your name, Jesus. We fed 10,000 people in Ethiopia in your name, Jesus. We built hospitals in your name, Jesus. But we never told anybody about you, Jesus. See, everyone, whether you're a multi-million dollar ministry that's on TV around the world, or you're Priscilla, Scott, Shirley, Holly, Ray, you all have the same calling. You all have the same thing that you're supposed to do for Jesus. It's not drill water wells. It's not build hospitals. It's witness. You don't have to be called to be a pastor. You don't have to be called to be a minister. You were called to be a witness. Let's look at some of the things of our calling. Look in Acts chapter 2. Everybody should be able to recite Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of your sin, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord God shall, what? Call. See, we always read 38, and Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. But we forget about the fact that the promise is for, and you can leave everything out in between, you can just read, for the promise is for you and even as many the Lord as our Lord God shall call. See, every one of us has a call upon our lives. Part of that call is in, we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Part of that call, verse 7, 1 Thessalonians 4, 7. For God has not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not God, who has also given, not man, but God, who has also given us to us the Holy Spirit. So the first thing in your call is what? Holiness. Part of your call from God, what does Paul tell us? What are we even told in the Old Testament? Leviticus chapter 3, verse 10. It says, I want you holy, for I am holy. I'm paraphrasing there because he says it a little bit differently. But when you read in the New Testament from the authors that say, be ye holy for I am holy, they're taking it directly out of the Old Testament. God was telling them in those days, I want you to be holy. So the first part of your call as a Christian is to be different. Paul says a peculiar person, a royal priesthood. You are to be different. You're to be so different, everybody wants to know who you are and why you are. You're to be so different, you and I, that people wonder about us. Before Jesus was doing miracles, they had to have wondered about Him. My goodness, here's a 12-year-old sitting in the temple teaching the scribes and the Pharisees. And they're all sitting there with their mouths open at this 12-year-old thinking, where did he learn all this? We're to be different. We're to be holy. We're to be set apart. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Catch up with me here. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. But these things that are gained to me I have counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things, and do count them all dung, but dung, that I may win Christ. In our Philippians, I wrote that down wrong. Philippians 3:7, and that's what I just read to you. So I'll have to look that one up. It may be Galatians. But our call is an upward call. Paul says, I would do anything for the upward call. For the call to the Lord. What does he mean by an upward call? So is Jesus walking around on the earth right now?
Unto him and unto his kingdom and not the kingdom of this earth.
It's kind of like Scott's saying, it's like the pastor's wife said to my wife and myself. We shouldn't really be too eager to leave this world because we're going to leave it soon enough. We're going to spend eternity on the other side. So while we're here, we should be spending our time doing the Lord's work. You know, Jesus tells us that he has prepared mansions for us in heaven. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I live in a travel trailer. I can kind of think it'd be cool to have a mansion. Have a little room, spread my elbows. I was sitting at the table this morning. Snowplow went by. I thought, oh, I'll just roll the curtain up and see what's going on. Well, I got the curtain up, couldn't get it down because there was a chair in the way. It'd be nice to have a mansion with a little elbow room. The sad part is, if we believe in some of the things that are happening, and one of the videos I'll show you when we get them is about a young man that died last year and was resurrected after 3 days. And he went to heaven and he went to hell. And what he saw in heaven was all the mansions were finished. But what he was told by the angels were, the mansions are finished, but the saints aren't ready. That's a scary thought. You know, we've been around for 2,000 years having a chance to get ready. And I don't know about the past generation, the past generation, the past generation, but obviously we're not ready. You ever wondered why the Lord keeps hesitating to come back? Now, if you read the Bible, these New Testament prophets, New Testament apostles, every single one of them believed that before they died, they'd see the return of the Lord. Why? Because that's how much they loved the Lord. That's how much they wanted to be home. And in that 2,000 years, now, how many times do you hear, oh, we just have to keep going. We just have to keep going because, well, I don't think he's going to return that soon. I just don't think so. It's not in the prophecies, not in the, so to speak, as people say today, the cards. How many Christians do you know? And I'm talking about evangelical Christians, Christians that love Jesus, are on the edge for Christ's return.
On the edge of our comfortable. American Christians, a lot of us are comfortable.
We're way too comfortable in America. But how many of us are on the edge for that return? See, we have to be ready. You have to be looking up. People are going to think you're stupid, but you're going to walk down the road when you're ready and something's going to cause you to look up. You won't know why. You'll look up and say to yourself, is it now, Lord? Man, I had that happen one day in church. We were all into worship. And then we both just were like in a different world. And we looked up expecting to see the Lord in an instant. And all we could say was, is it now, Lord? And that's the expectancy we need to have if we want to fulfill the call that's been put on us. Let's look at the call Paul got. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and 2 that he was called by Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, he says, I was called by the Lord. Okay? If you go on down and look in Galatians chapter 1, Paul goes even further. And he gives a little history of his life, and he says that, hey, not only was I called from the Lord, but what? He says here, starting in verse 13, for you have heard of my version in time past in the Jews' religion and how beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous in the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son to me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. What did Paul say there? He says that God had called him out of the womb. God called him, even though he grew up to be a zealot, grew up to be a hater of Christians, grew up to do more damage to the Christian religion, God had called him to what? He had called him before he was born. God knew, I have a purpose for you. I have a purpose for you. And that's what he said to us. He has a purpose for us. Look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 10. Isaiah sees a vision of cherubims and seraphims. Isaiah sees the Lord in this vision, and he hears the voice of God. And what does Isaiah do? Isaiah falls down on his face, and he says, "Oh, I'm a man of unclean lips from an unclean generation." And the Lord comes down, and what? The Lord has a work for him, so he sends one of the seraphims with a coal to touch his lips to purify him. And God's sense of humor and God's love for us. He won't force us to do anything. God, after He purifies Isaiah, is kind of like, now who will go for me? I wonder who I could get to go for me. Who will do this for me? And what does Isaiah do? He falls down and says, "Take me, Lord, here I am, send me." But God doesn't even force us to follow the call He gave us. Now this is a side note, it's not part of the sermon, but for those that are interested, read Isaiah chapter 10, or chapter 6. As soon as I find it, I'll read it. My brain, there it is. Isaiah chapter 6. Okay. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed and understand not, see ye indeed, perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, and at least they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand, and convert, and be healed." Just, you know, God does things in threes. That's in Isaiah. That's in Matthew chapter 13, 14, and 15. And Paul speaks of it in Acts 25, 27. Have you ever wondered, when you try to witness to somebody and nothing happens, why? Go back and look at those three sets of verses. That's exactly why.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.